From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Welcome to the News OK Pet Show. I'm Dawn Marks.
I'm Brian Dean.
And joining us guest host today is Jesse Oliveras.
Yay! Hi, everybody. I'm here.
And our guest today is Samantha Burnett with the Central Oklahoma Humane Society.
I am very happy to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. We're going to start off with some news from Brian.
Well, I got a couple for you here. The first one comes to us from Alabama, where apparently there's a movement afoot to poison the waters there because of some killer snails.
Killer snails?
Killer snails. Apparently, the South American apple snails have been invading this 3 Mile Creek there, which is kind of coming up to this close to this Mobile Tensaw Delta, which is a really important wildlife area. And apparently these are not native snails, and they've started to threaten some of the other fish there. And so they're planning to kill all the snails they can find.
Now, I'm sorry, but I just have a hard time believing that anything called apple snail is dangerous. But,
well, I'll show you this. I mean, you know, you can see a picture here of the size of them. They're pretty good size for a snail. As snails go.
It's not necessarily that they're threatening to, like, say, slime someone. It's that they're encroaching on the environment, I'm guessing.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Still,
it's more that issue. It is what it is. They're afraid that they could decimate the rice crops and the wetlands there as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Did they talk about what will happen to any of the animals that eat the poison dead snails?
They haven't, and not in this story that I have here. It's copper sulfate is what they're using. And they say they'll have to poison the pond several times. And if the poisoning causes a fish kill, the pond will be restocked. So those dead fish will just be replaced, I guess, is what they're saying.
So replaceable.
This next story, I picked this one out especially for you, Jesse.
Thank you.
Because I think that you and Mr. Bumble the Skunk are kindred spirits. like many of our fun stories, this one comes to us from the United Kingdom, where apparently Mr. Bumble's former owners, they found a way to bump this skunk that should be about 7 pounds up to 14 pounds by getting him addicted to bacon sandwiches.
A genius. That is genius.
So nice. Now, as anyone who knows Jesse can tell you, Jesse loves bacon. So
not that much. I like it fine. I like it fine. There are other people in this building that like it more than me. I just appreciate it. And I don't think there is any such thing. I think bacon should never be wasted. But that's me.
Apparently, skunks have become real popular pets in the UK, but abandonment rates have been up lately because there's a new law that prevents you from removing their scent glands. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are also people who keep skunks as pets in the United mm-hmm. States. There's some states that allow it. I don't imagine living somewhat out in the country where I smell them constantly. I don't know why anyone would want to keep a skunk as a pet. To mention the fact that they carry rabies more often than any other animal.
Well, they're a good deterrent. I mean, who wants to break into a house with skunks?
That's an excellent point.
But here's the question, wouldn't it be just as bad if someone broke into your house as if a skunk, like, went off in your house? You'd have to, like, scrub the whole house down.
You have a lot of vinegar around.
Give the last of our story with Mr. Bumble. Apparently, his new owners his old owners gave him to the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, and they are putting Mr. Bumble on a vegetarian diet to get him down to his normal ideal weight of 7 pounds. He was 14, and I'll just show you guys a quick picture.
That is a fat skunk. My gosh.
It's no denying.
Wow.
He's a portly skunk.
Well, all I can say is I'm wishing Mr. Bumble a good luck with that. I have been on many diets myself, and I feel miserably. So I have just decided that the Lord wants me to be chubby. So it shall be.
All right. Well, so Samantha, Friday, October 16th is National Feral Cat Day. So we've brought you in because we know that the Humane Society knows quite a bit about feral cats.
We do. We're very excited about National Feral Cat Day. It will be the 9th annual National Feral Cat Day, and we have a very successful and aggressive trap neuter return program for feral mm-hmm. cats in Oklahoma City limits, and we're just extremely pleased with how it's going.
We've talked about this program before on our show. In fact, one time I Chrissy Counts, you know, who heads up the Humane Society, suggested that I take a date to go trap cats for a date. So this program has a long and storied history on our program. One of the things I'm curious about is just how this is really going. You guys have had a few years to get this thing underway going now. How are people responding to it, and are you starting to see some results from it?
Well, I think we definitely are starting to see results from it. It's very hard to quantify with numbers. That's the most difficult part. The euthanasia rate is being directly impacted at the Oklahoma City Animal Shelter. We have trapped, neutered, and returned over 2,600 cats since we started. And we can see the euthanasia rate changing and the kittens coming in during typical kitten season being pushed back, and our saturation levels, we can hold off a little bit longer before we're just overflowing with kittens. So we've seen that change over the last couple of years.
What do you think it is that people don't know about feral cats? I mean, I think a lot of people don't really have a sense that they see a stray cat, they think it might just be some old alley cat in their head. But, I mean, these are not necessarily cats you just kind of take in and pet and cuddle and love.
That's true. There's a couple different things. We refer to feral cats. Ferals are wild. They are not interested in human companionship or interaction. They're actually very scared of us. They are wild animals. You really cannot take a feral cat into a shelter to be adopted. That's just not an option for them. The most interesting thing is how very few people know about this option of trap, neuter, and return for feral cats and how humane it is. There was a study done that Alley Cat Allies participated in, and they're a national organization that promotes trap, neuter, return. And they asked people, they said, okay, if you see a stray cat and you have two options, you can leave it there or you can take it to the shelter where it will most likely be euthanized, what would you do? And 81% of people said, leave it alone. Mm-hmm. And what happens when they leave it alone is the cats are so good at reproducing that they're going to have 3 to 4 litters of kittens every year. So trap, neuter, return is a great humane alternative to letting the cat live, but we're not going to be adding to the numbers that go into our shelters.
Now, one thing I'm curious about, and forgive me because I'm just not up to date on this. Lord knows I am a guest host. But the fact is that I'm just wondering, why are they concerned, why should they be concerned about feral cat populations?
You know, that's a really good question. And there's different numbers floating around out there, but what they say is a huge number of cats that come into the shelters across the nation are actually the offspring of stray and feral cats. So 80%, that's been a number that's been thrown out there. 50%, it's very hard to quantify because we don't really know how many feral cats are actually out there. No one's able to really count them and give us a number. They go into the Oklahoma City Animal Shelter, and if they're not adoptable, they are euthanized. And taxpayers are paying taxes to euthanize animals. So that's one thing that they can be interested in.
It's right in the pocketbook.
It does.
The worst place, well, almost the worst place.
The Trap, Neuter, Return program, what it does is we humanely trap cats. We spay or neuter them, vaccinate them for rabies, and we return them to where they were trapped. And what this does is it eliminates, obviously, kittens being born, the males fighting, yowling, spraying, all those nuisance behaviors. And if they're managed by a colony manager, they're also not going to be going through anybody's trash looking for food. So all the nuisance behaviors pretty much go away when we have a managed colony.
And I think that's one of the weird things about feral cats that, you know, when you see a stray dog, I think people have a concept of what a stray dog does, but these feral cats, it's not like just one stray cat. They are like, it's colonies. You mentioned you can have 40, 50 cats in a colony. I mean, do you think people really understand how stray cats work as opposed to, I mean, do you think people view them more like a stray dog or?
No, stray dogs are seen differently by people. There's an old story that, you know, if someone's driving by and they see a puppy eating out of a trash can, they're going to stop and they're going to pick up that puppy and they feel really bad about it, but they don't even see the cat that's eating out of the trash can. So that's something that a lot of animal welfare organizations across the nation have been trying to elevate the status of cats in the community's minds and let them know that they are of equal value. Wild packs of dogs are picked up pretty quickly, but colonies of cats form and continue to breed, and there's not much that's done about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a concentration, like, is there areas in the city or in central Oklahoma where these colonies are more where they frequent more? I mean, is there concentrations of those?
And not that we've been able to pinpoint yet. There are colonies everywhere. They're in backyards. They're behind businesses. They're in apartment complexes.
My old apartment complex was a had at least 40 or 50 of them.
And yes, I remember that.
It's important to note that it's not just feral cats that are part of the problem. It's stray cats that have become lost or wandered off. And it's also people's personal pets that they allow to roam, because when an animal is in heat, they do not care about any sort of stray, feral, or pet. Everything's part of the problem.
Wow. Well, if people want to help, how can they do that?
There's several different ways that people can help. One is definitely, it's thought that Dr. Julie Levy has proposed that one out of four households in the United States is most likely feeding a cat outside, whether it is feral or their pet or possibly just the stray that wanders up and down the street and everybody feeds. So there's a couple different ways that people can help. One is if you're feeding cats and you believe that they're feral, you can't touch them, but you're feeding them, they show up every day, contact us and learn about our Trap, Neuter, Return program and how you can join and how we can help you.
How can we contact you?
You can, the easiest way is you can visit us online at our website, www.okhumane.org, and you can send in a contact informational email to me, and it'll come straight to me, Samantha. And that's probably the easiest way. There's some information on our site about Trap, Neuter, Return, but then I'm going to contact you, and we're going to talk about it a lot in detail and make sure that you're comfortable with what's going to happen and that you understand everything.
Okay.
You can donate, and you can donate at the same site at okhumane.org, and you can say that it can go specifically to TNR. If you're not feeding cats, but you know somebody that is, that's very typical. Tell them about this program that you heard about. And then if you have personal pets outside, please spay or neuter them. And we have several options for low-cost spay neuter around Oklahoma City.
Great. Well, thank you, Samantha, so much. Everyone should go and visit the website and learn a little bit more about feral cats and about what they can do.
Celebrate National Feral Cat Day on Friday. I know I will have my stocking up so the feral cat Santa will come in and stock.
Yay!
There is going to be something on the CBS Early Show with Alley Cat Allies and their mascot. So there's going to be something on that on Friday morning where they'll be talking about that as well.
Great. Well, so we do have a few tips from Jesse, some tail tips to end our show.
That's right. We'll keep this very brief because I'm sure you're tired of hearing me. The fact is that it's getting cooler now. So here are some tips the ASPCA has provided to keep pets safe and happy. First off, keep your cat inside. They're small. They don't have, stuff. Keep them inside. They like the warm. Another thing, when you're going outside, being that it's cold outside, cats also like to, and other things like cats like to sleep under car hoods and things like that, sleeping places where they're warm.
Be very careful.
So they say bang loudly in areas to wake up the cat, get them out of there, get them a chance, give them a chance to get out. If they're, let's say they're sleeping on the engine, give them a chance to get out of there before you actually crank the motor on so they don't get injured.
We have seen injuries from fan belts from cats that have come in, and they do like to climb up into the engines where it's nice and warm.
Yep.
You see, Izzy, that it's like you wrote this. Here's another thing. Never let your dog off the leash on snow or ice, especially during a snowstorm. Dogs can lose their scent and easily become lost. Here's another thing. Thoroughly wipe your dog's legs and stomach when they come in out of the sleet, snow, or ice. That can ingest, because of the fact that ice often carries salt, antifreeze, and other things. Not so pleasant. And so, so just other things. Just keep some common sense things. Animals are kind of like humans in that sense, where they are. In that sense, they don't like to be mistreated. If you take care of a cat or a dog or any other pet, just like you take care of a person, you know, they don't like to be burned. They don't like to be cold. They don't like
and
all
I,
these
I know
things.
I don't let Jesse off his lease during the ice or snow.
Well, you did that last year. I don't know why you did, but anyway. Just think smart.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for coming, and go out and take care of your pets.